Alexander Snitker, libertarian, Republican, and political hack. And Adrian Wiley, born-again anarchist and political has-been. Banter, blather, and joke about current events while attempting to figure out whether to keep trying to salvage our constitutional republic or just stock up on marshmallows to roast on the smoldering embers of society. It's time for Unattended Baggage.
Why, thank you, Scott. Hello, everyone in Podcastville or Internet Land or wherever you may reside. This is Alex, co-host, Unattended Baggage. Along with me is my radio life mate, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Adrian Shoeless Wiley. How are you, sir?
Alex, welcome to another episode of Antiques Bro Show. It's good to be with you here again. This is the show where two alpha males evaluate your antiques and collectibles. And let's just go ahead and dive right into today. First of all, we're going to start with this thing. I don't know exactly what to call it. It's like when you get your wife roses and you put it into the, like, I want to say a flower pot, but it's not that.
A vase?
A vase, yeah. So it's looking pretty nice here. It's made of clay or ceramic or...
Is it from the Paleolithic era?
I don't know. What's the stuff they make the toilets out of?
Porcelain.
Porcelain. I think it's a porcelain vase. It's got blue, like, little designs on it, little flowers. Oh, and there's like a... Dude, that's like a, I don't know, a Chinese samurai warrior looking dude on there. So
okay, hold on a second, Adrian. What are you doing right now?
Antiques Bro Show.
Okay, Antiques Bro Show. First off, I do got to copyright that because I think that is a good idea. However, that's not what we're doing today. We're not talking about antiques. We're talking about old, crusty politicians.
Well, what the fuck am I going to do with this vase then?
I don't know.
Hey,
drink out of it.
Two Southern ladies sitting on a front porch.
Uh-huh.
One goes to the other. She goes, damn it, Verna, my husband just brought me a dozen red roses. Looks like I'm going to spend the weekend with my legs spread. And the other one goes, well, honey, don't you have a vase? And there you go.
Oh.
Antiques Bro Show. I like the concept. I think we ought to go ahead and do something like that. Like, you bring us your antiques, and we try to figure out whether it's like, you know, Dollar General shit or it's actually something worthwhile.
I just don't even know anymore.
I would have no clue which way to go.
Like, what are you listening to on the way up here for the show?
I learned something today up here on the show. I was actually listening to 102.5 The Bone, which is a good station. They do kind of a lot of stuff like we do, actually. Do you think they copied us?
They might have.
But I learned that an upside down pineapple is the symbol for swingers. So if you go to the grocery store and someone has an upside down pineapple in their cart, that means that they're looking for to come home and for a little cuckold action or something like that.
What?
Yeah. And you know, my wife had mentioned something about pineapples and swingers a while back, and I just thought she was insane because she often is. But no, apparently that is a real thing. They actually had a guy who has a swingers club on the air, and he said, "Yeah, that's a thing." You know.
That's a thing.
Upside
I did
down
not
pineapple.
Know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
But that's for swingers, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if, like, sliced up pineapples is like a sexual predator type thing. You know? Pineapple rings is like, I don't know, like rimming or something. It might be a whole thing around the pineapple. Who knows?
Oh, that's just so wrong. All right, so there's
I haven't had a lot of sleep lately, guys.
Well, no. You've been very busy
operating
with your job.
Yeah, that is true.
You've been very busy.
Yeah, it's, that's one of the downsides of being an IT, systems administrator. Sometimes you got to spend the entire night working on servers and networks and shit like that when everybody at the office has gone home. And sometimes that leaves you a little slap happy when you got to do a podcast.
Well, now let me ask you this question.
Sure.
So, with the job that you do, there's good and there's bad. You know, like with any job, there's good, there's bad.
Sure.
Do you do the things, like, is there a lot of things that you can do in order to limit those bad times? Or sometimes it's bad things are going to happen no matter what.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I end up working myself out of work often, you know, because if you can set up a network the right way and get it all monitored and maintained and things like that, and It's bad things still happen once in a while, but it's a very rare occasion. The guys that are running around all the time putting out fires are the guys that really don't know how to manage a system, or they don't have the budget to do it. That's the other thing. A lot of times, you know, I see a lot of IT guys that are working with people that, you know, they want to spend $100 on their annual IT budget. And yeah, you're going to be putting Band-Aids on things and putting out fires. But if you can work with people who are willing to not go crazy, but spend enough money to do it correctly, then yeah, you can mitigate a lot of the problems before they happen.
I got you. All right. Well, that's cool. All right. There's a lot of different things that we can get to first. I thought that the first thing that we could get to, though, is the PG&E story with California and the... Oh, hold on. Let me just say this first, though. I was doing Uber Eats last night, right?
Right.
So I was doing it in the car. So Kelly and Danielle got the new car.
As opposed to on foot?
Well, no, I was doing it with the little smart car.
Oh, the smart car,
so,
right.
So, like, I'm double duty in it, really, because it's
advertising. Which is now wrapped in bubbles.
Yeah, which is wrapped in Kelly and Danielle's new company, Another Girl Fights the Dust, right?
Right.
But I was in, what do you call that place? Tijuana Flats.
Okay. And never been there.
Never been to Tijuana Flats.
No.
You know what? Nice place. Good place. Good place. Good food. So I was there picking up an order, but I was watching the TV. Like, the TV wasn't on. Like, it wasn't like...
you were watching an off TV?
Like, the air wasn't on. The sound wasn't on.
Okay, so
it was just the visual, not anything else.
Okay.
And I don't remember exactly what channel it was. And I don't really watch, like, network TV anymore. Like, I don't, you know, it's not on in the house, really, because of, you know, like, we cut cable. So once you cut cable, you really are just doing appointment watching
right,
TV.
You're only watching TV when you say, I'm going to go sit down now and I'm going to watch this thing.
Yes.
You plan to watch television. It's not like you just put it on and catch something.
Start flipping channels.
Right.
You just don't do that anymore.
Right.
Which is good, which I like. But when you watch this, you would think that the world was on fire and everyone is being killed. If you watched just watching the TV, was that the world's on fire and we're all gonna die?
Well, yeah, that's just disaster porn.
It network TV at like 5:30 p.m. or 6:00 p.m.
Well, dude, that's when the network news is on.
Well, no, and that's why everybody's scared all the time, because, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's definitely fires going on and there's things like that, but it was just funny that you watched this all, and don't get me wrong, the way you watched it all is that all of it literally was, like, and again, we're going to go through this stuff too, but it's almost like Trump was actually setting fires in California at the time.
With freaking lasers?
With freaking lasers. So, but let's get into the PG&E story first.
Right.
So, you wrote something this week on, like, cause and effect of government. And it started with PG&E was going to cut power for nearly 800,000 customers due to a wildfire risk.
Right.
So go down and lay out why government's at fault for this.
Well, first of all, you have to remember that the Paradise Fire that happened not too long ago was actually PG&E's fault because their, you know, poorly maintained power lines sparked a tree or some brush or something like that and started the fire. But here's the thing. If you really boil down to it, government actually created the situation where PG&E has a monopoly. So, you know, because PG&E has a monopoly, they don't maintain their power lines because they don't have to, because, you know, there's no competition. It's not like, you know, Sprint, Verizon, AT&T. You can't say, well, the Sprint network sucks, I'm going to Verizon. If, like, the PG&E network, quote unquote, transmission lines suck, they don't care, and you can't do anything about it, because if you want power, you got to go through them because of government.
And because they're not going to, and if they were to do something where they weren't maintaining their lines, they're not going to get sued, because they should have been sued out of business.
Well, they did get sued. And that's the thing. The city or the county, one or the other, I forget which governmental agency, some governmental agency actually sued PG&E over this.
Okay.
But here's the thing. You've got such a bizarre scenario, because when a government entity sues you, the government keeps the money. When a public utility gets sued, especially one that is, a monopoly, a government-created monopoly, they're going to pass the cost on to the consumers. So essentially, by A, having a monopoly, and B, having government, the consumers in this case, the people who had their homes destroyed, are still paying government taxes, and now they're going to pay higher rates to PG&E because the government sued them for burning down their house. It's such idiocy. when you think about it. Yeah. I mean, so by the government actually suing the monopoly, which they created, they're actually screwing the people who got hurt the most again. You know?
Yeah.
And that's the, and you know, nobody gets it. And the funny thing is a lot of people will point to the fact that PG&E had a situation where their poorly maintained power lines caused a fire, and they say, well, government should have more oversight over them. Instead of saying, well, maybe they should have competition. You know, and that's the no-brainer. So that's what happened in the past. Now, fast forward to today. And right now, PG&E is actually preemptively turning off anywhere between 500,000 and 1 million customers' power because it's dry and it's windy in Northern California, basically the outskirts of the San Francisco Bay Area.
Just like it is every other year.
Yeah, just like it always is. But since they got sued a while back and still haven't fixed their lines and haven't cut all the brush away from their lines, there's still a danger they're going to start another fire. So to add insult to injury, so the people that are paying taxes and paying high interest rates with no other choice, the monopoly utility rates, or, you know, utility rates, not interest rates, now the utility is actually preemptively cutting off their power in case their poorly maintained lines start another fire. So here are 500,000 people without power because PG&E doesn't want to get sued again by the government. So the government, again, their solution to the problem was sue the monopoly which they created, and that resulted in the monopoly just turning off everybody's power. Now, it's even worse than that. It's And here's the even the most ironic part of all of it. The purpose of PG&E shutting off power to 1 million people was to what?
Stop the risk of wildfire.
Prevent a wildfire. What do people do when the power's out? Well, they light candles.
Burn candles.
They light barbecue grills. They light tiki torches.
Generators.
They go and put gasoline in 5-gallon paint buckets to pour in their generators. When the power is out, there's a whole lot more fires than there normally are because people have open flame all over the damn place when they never normally do. So by PG&E cutting the power, they've actually instead increased the risk of a fire dramatically. The only difference is instead of it starting from a power line, it's going to start from some poor schlub's house.
Well, yeah, but then PG&E won't get sued, though.
Exactly. But when PG&E gets sued, they just pass the cost on the consumers anyway.
Exactly.
Because the consumers don't have it. Yeah. No matter what, the people who are getting their houses burned down are still going to get taxed and screwed by the utility companies. I mean, it's a no-win situation.
California is a third world country.
Well, actually, that situation could happen anywhere.
Well, no, but it.
But yeah, California
is just, the rest of it, though.
And again, most of the Californians are like, well, we need more government.
Yeah. Well, no, they leave right. To go to Texas and go, there's not enough government here.
Yeah.
Like, we need to increase government in this area.
We totally fucked up California. Let's move to Texas, see if we can fuck that up, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it seems like that's working.
Well, you know, and I talked last night to Tim Radocker, by the way,
right,
who is listening, probably from, and he's, if he's hearing this episode, he might actually be in India. So, hi, Tim from India. So, hopefully that's working out pretty well for you. But I talked to him last night. He's actually moving back. He's getting job transferred back over to Florida.
Right.
And he was talking about California, how it's the power outages have already started. And he talked about how, like, it's beautiful outside in California, but that's the only thing nice about it. Everything else completely sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything that man has nothing to do with is really nice in California.
Yeah.
If man gets involved with it, it's pretty fucked up.
You know, I will say this about California. When I drove cross country and I went over to California, as soon as I crossed the line, the state line into California, it just looked shitty.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know how to explain it. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of bugs on the windshield, too. But the bugs on the windshield were in there in the state before that, too. And the state before that seemed like it was all right. It's when I crossed into California, everything just looked shittier. And it looked shittier the entire time I was in California.
Where did you cross through Nevada or?
No, not Nevada. I was not down on 10, so was it Arizona or New Mexico? Whichever one's next to it, I don't freaking remember right now. but one of the whichever state was
Nevada.
No, Arizona, New Mexico, the south, south.
Oh, you were way south. Then yeah, there was
I-10.
Yeah, then it was Arizona.
Yeah, so Arizona.
Okay,
so, and Arizona was nice, by the way. I mean, don't get me wrong, not a whole lot of grass, and it was pretty dry everywhere. But still, it was all right.
Yeah.
But as soon as I crossed over to Cal, and the gas prices, oh my God. Like it was.
Gas up before you get to California.
It's like $2 a gallon more.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy. It's a crazy amount of money.
And fill up those 5-gallon paint cans full of gas before you get there.
That's where I actually got Legionnaires, by the way. I got Legionnaires in California.
Yeah.
It's like a third world country. It really is.
I do not like California. Now, I haven't seen all of California. I've only really been to the LA area. But I can tell you, I strongly dislike LA. I love New York.
I never, ever, ever want to go back to California again.
I would be totally okay with never going to California. I always wanted to see like San Francisco. I never had the opportunity to, and never been there on business or anything like that. But now it's just like, you know, I've seen, you know, human feces and used needles, so I think I'm good.
Yeah, if I want to see that, I'll go down to Miami or something.
Right, exactly.
I don't think you get it as much. I mean, you don't get the full-on thing of it, but I watch a movie or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Mad Max, Beyond Thunderdome.
I can pretty much imagine how that might be.
So, yeah, I have no wantingness whatsoever to be in California. The other thing I don't understand is that why, when you see what's going on in California, that you don't take a look at the ideology and the philosophy that got them there.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Like, when you leave out of there, why do you not, like...
Yeah, it's
why
not
why do
like,
you vote for the same people that you were voting for there?
Here's the thing. It's not like the left is going to fix any California's problems because the left has been in power there for 40 years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, the left has been in power for Chicago for centuries, it seems like.
Yeah.
since white man first got there, left's been in power.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And I don't understand.
I mean, are the dailies the daily grandson at this point? Who knows? Are the dailies still running Chicago?
I don't know.
Do you know that?
I don't know.
I bet you they are.
Could be.
I bet you that. Oh, no. Rahm Emanuel is. Yeah. He took over. He was
actually, there's a woman now that's now the mayor.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. But for like 40 years, I think it was the Daley family. First the father, then the son. And, you know, I think the grandson even got involved somehow. Then Rahm Emanuel came along and, you know.
And that's like even with the Jesse Smollett, the Juicy Smollett thing. I forgot how Dave Chappelle said it.
Juicy.
It was awesome.
It's Juicy.
Juicy. No, Dave Chappelle said
it. Oh, Juicy.
It.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Smollett. Juicy Smollett. Like,
you could pronounce that name 1,000 different ways.
I always thought the funny part was that they were going to claim that there was a white supremacist problem in Chicago. Like, really? Like, here's the thing. Like, everybody in charge is black.
Right. Yeah, that is true.
Like,
I wouldn't say everybody, but yeah, there's
a lot of people.
Yeah, it's government in Chicago is, I would say, much more diverse than your typical demographic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how is that? Like, if the chief of police is black or whatever, and most of the cops are black, then how is if a cop beats somebody that it's a racial thing and not just an abuse of power thing?
Well, yeah, it's the whole, abuse of power by police is only partially racial. It's more power versus anything else.
Yeah, socioeconomic, if you want to go down the road.
It's not even socioeconomic, really. I mean, it's just, you know, you give a bully a nightstick and he's going to
use the nightstick.
Yeah, he's going to use it, you know.
All right, so the other thing that we wanted to discuss today, and again, this there's no way to go from PG&E cutting power to 800,000 people to Turkey shelling U.S. forces in Syria.
Why not?
I had no idea how to do it. So this week, President Trump made a decision to pull troops, about 100.5 or 200 of them, out of a specific part of Turkey or a specific part of Syria that was near the Turkish border for a buffer zone to allow Turkey to go in there and bomb the Kurds.
Okay, and let me just say, when I first saw this, I got the impression, and maybe I didn't dig deep enough into it, and that's probably my fault. That's something I almost never do. But I got the impression that Trump was saying he was pulling our troops out of Syria.
Okay, you're not wrong. That is how he alluded to doing it.
Okay, because...
But that was a bunch of crap.
Oh,
that's what he was trying to... That's the position he was trying to take.
Right. And I actually... I've been operating on unlimited sleep.
Lucy, you want to call yourself Charlie Brown when Lucy had the football in front of you again?
You know what? Because I never believe a thing that Trump says, but, you know, I thought he's been okay on foreign policy. At least he talks a good game, and he hasn't really like bombed a bunch of people yet. So on foreign policy, I kind of think, you know, out of all the things that he is, that's probably his best characteristic as president.
Yeah.
So I guess I gave him the benefit of the doubt, but it turns out, yeah, we weren't pulling out of Syria. In fact, we didn't even pull out of the region, the disputed Kurdish region, which I thought that, so that was the next thing I thought, okay, we're just pulling out of the region of Syria that borders with, Iraq and Turkey up in the northeast corner. So yeah. We're just pulling out of that section. You know, maybe we're pulling back into Iraq or something like that. No, we're not even doing that. There's a report out today that Turkey actually accidentally shelled some U.S. special forces with artillery. So they were hitting so close to the American positions that the U.S. forces were considering returning fire in self-defense.
Yeah, as they should.
As they should, okay, because that's, you know, a defensive measure. So, but it turns out that the Pentagon spokesperson or whatever that talked about it said, well, yeah, they were about a click away, a kilometer away from the fighting. So that's how close they are. They didn't even pull a mile back. They're a kilometer away. And the guy actually said they have the same grid maps as we do, which makes sense. They're NATO members. Okay. So they knew exactly which grid we were in. So not only did we not pull out of Syria, not only did we not pull out of the region, we're just saying, okay, don't hit this grid, don't hit this grid, don't hit this grid. This is where we're going to be. And the Kurds are like all around there.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is the most dick move ever. I mean, that we just fucked the Kurds over, man. Hardcore. I mean, we basically just said, come on and just kill these guys. We don't care.
Yeah.
You know, we're just going to stand back. I mean, this is like you seeing a dude about to beat the crap out of a chick. Okay. And you stand in between them and you say, don't take another step. And that dude decides, you know what? I'm not going to take another step because I don't want to get in a fight with this guy. You know, it's just, let's just chill out. And then you say, you know what? I changed my mind. Go ahead and kick her ass. And stepping out of the way. And by the way, I'll just be right over here watching.
Yeah, right next to her.
Yeah.
Like you're not leaving the situation.
Yeah. I took one step back. I'm going to watch you beat the shit out of her. That's literally what we did.
This is the insanity of, and this is the insanity of the, of our current foreign policy.
Right.
This is the insanity of Trump. Like, you didn't pull anybody out.
Right.
You moved them around. You only moved them around enough to appease Turkey. Like, why did you need to appease Turkey?
Trump Tower, Istanbul.
Maybe that's what it is.
There is a Trump Tower in Istanbul, Turkey. I think that really a lot of things are dictated by things like that. How does it affect Donald Trump personally?
I don't know.
The other thing is,
but I don't understand though. I mean, here's the thing. That seems like the most obvious thing, so it must make the most sense. Unless you can give me another reason, because every reason he's given, all the reasons he's talked about are bullshit.
Oh, total bullshit.
Because you didn't actually, if you were to pull all the troops out of Syria and that were to have happened.
Right.
You know what? Again, reset in foreign policy is going to happen. Go ahead.
Yeah, it still would have been a bad thing for the Kurds. It would have been, you know, very unfortunate for the Kurds. But if we were doing it, if we were saying, look, part of our new foreign policy is to get the hell out of all these conflicts. Mm-hmm. We're just not going to be involved anymore.
Correct.
And if the end result of that is some people have to fight their own battles, then so be it. You know? But that's not what we're doing. It's like we're taking the worst possible consequence of a good idea and just making it happen without actually doing the good part of the idea.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I just don't get it.
Well, and then for him to say, like, if they cross the red line, then we're gonna do economic sanctions like you'd never believe.
Well, what is the red line? Shelling U.S. troops that are literally a click away from the Kurds?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, what's the red line?
If there is a red line, I would think that would be it. You know, fortunately, none of the U.S. special forces were hurt. You know, they were able to evade the the incoming artillery, but you know,
Danger close though.
Oh, that's danger close. They were getting shelled.
Like, you get medals for that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But
that's, I mean, it, you know, like, and the Pentagon is, you know, urging them to halt the operations and stuff, but in reality, they got out of the way. Like, if you, again, if you're going to get, if you're going to talk about costly, endless wars and all this stuff, I hear you. I agree with you. But you actually have to get out of there then. You can't just talk about it and run your mouth.
Well, you know, a lot of this boils down to this thing you said a while back about he puts two people in a room, lets them argue them out, and whoever wins the argument, he goes with that plan. I honestly think Donald Trump is the kind of guy that is like the last thing he remembers hearing is like his policy.
Well, yeah, and then and by doing this,
the last person he talked to was Erdogan.
I guess.
You know, it was. He got on the phone. He was on the phone with him. He's like, all right, we'll do that. All right, yeah, we'll take care of that. Yeah, we'll pull out. You go ahead. And that's according to, you know, quote unquote whistleblowers or, you know,
whatever,
anonymous sources inside the White House. But I honestly think this guy is coming apart.
You think he's coming apart? Huh?
I think he's coming apart. I think this impeachment thing is just throwing him over the top. I don't think he ever really intended to be president. I think he did this on a lark just to sell his brand. And when he started getting momentum, it snowballed on him, and he had to get in front of it. And then he said, oh, what the hell? His ego wouldn't let him not do it. I really do. And now I think he's just so far over his head at this point.
So, because, look, there's still people. Look, people love this guy, though. Like,
I don't understand how.
They do,
He keeps not only shooting himself in the foot, shooting us in the dick. And they're all like, hey, that's great.
People love this dude, man. It is amazing how much they love this dude.
You know, some of those same people, I remember saying, or them saying, when Obama was backing out of some areas in Iraq, that he was throwing the Kurds under the bus.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I swear to God, if Obama did this, those same exact people that are praising him would be going out of their minds.
Well, look, it's why this week when you said you put up a post, and I know that you think that you say these things all the time, and you do say them a lot, but you think that you say them in a way, you think you say them too much to where it's getting old, but it's not getting old because nobody's listening. I mean, very few people are actually listening to it anyway. So every time you do say it, it actually works out pretty well.
I have actually no idea what I said that you're talking about. What did I say?
The celebrity thing.
Read it to me.
Okay, hold on. I got to get to it now. I can't believe you can't even remember the stuff that you...
I
made it a meme.
Yeah.
Like, I made it a freaking meme on the site. It's actually gotten more traction than any one thing we've ever posted.
You know, I swear to God, I write things, and then as soon as I do, it's like they're out of my head. You know what I'm saying?
So,
I mean, I understand the concept because it's what I believe.
Like,
yeah, it was something about...
It has nothing to do with policy. Yeah. It has everything to do with your political celebrity guy against the other
If you love or hate. Yeah. I kind of remember that now.
All right. So when you wrote this, I really thought it was very prophetic. So I actually ended up making a meme out of it and threw it right up because I'm like, oh, this will be great. People love this one. So politics isn't about policies anymore. It's about political celebrities you love versus political celebrities you hate. The ones you love can do no wrong, even when they have positions you once vilified. The ones you hate can do no right, even when they take positions you once adored. You've become a hypocrite. Admitting it to yourself is the first step to recovery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah to that. And it's, I mean, like... Again, there's an article.
I do feel like I say that all the time.
I know, but you know what, though? It's not that it doesn't need to be said all the freaking time.
I guess it does, because it keeps happening.
And people are showing up to his events and crying when he shows up. Look, again, we're in Idiocracy. We're right smack dab in the middle of it. You know, when the reality TV star goes upstairs and everybody's just all crazy about it. Like, and this is the thing. Like, if you, there was a Vice was out in front of this one. The Vice TV.
Okay.
And there was a guy that was wearing a Make America Great a hat, Make America
MAGA,
Great
just
again,
say MAGA.
MAGA hat.
Right.
And as he was standing there getting interviewed, somebody that hated him, well, didn't know hate him personally, but just the fact that he was wearing a hat, spit on him while he was on camera as they were walking by. Now, here's the thing. This is we're getting so tribal with this. There was another guy that was standing right over there that half-assed apologized Well, that's not right that the guy spit on you, but it's not right that you're wearing that hat either. But it's not right that he spit on you, but that's he's equating the wearing of a hat
right
to being spit on.
Right.
And thinking somehow that there was a little bit of a justification for it because the person was spit on. If you're wearing the MAGA hat and someone from the left spits on you, you're not going to question your positions on whether you support Trump or not. You're going to double down on those positions and protect him no matter what.
Well, here's the thing. I think that if you're wearing a MAGA hat and someone from the left spits on you, you should shoot them. And then people on the left, if someone wearing a MAGA hat shoots one of your friends, you should shoot him and two more of his friends. And then people with MAGA hats, if two or more of your friends get shot by people on the left, you should shoot a whole bunch of them. And I'll be sitting back eating popcorn, just watching, waiting for the dust to clear, and there'll be a lot less traffic, and government will be a lot better. I swear to God, that's how I feel. It's like, yeah, just go ahead and fight already. You know, get it over with.
Like,
fucking go Charlottesville, man. Hey, yeehaw, Antifa. I want to see some Nazis and Antifas going at it, you know?
Well, here's the
And let's extend that to Trump supporters and Democrats, and let's just everybody go out there. We'll have a big dome. Everybody gets in there, and, you know, 300 million enter, and I get to leave.
And I want to bring this Ukraine thing up as the point. This is the one that brings it all, is going to bring a lot of it all around, and how people will back their own person because everybody's acting like a five-year-old idiot or an idiot that's 5 years old. Trump, on a phone call to the new Ukrainian president, who was actually a TV show comedian, who was actually doing a show where he was the Ukrainian president.
Wait a second. I don't mean to interrupt, but I want to touch on that briefly. All around the world, heads of states, elected heads of states, are more and more TV celebrities.
Yes.
That is happening almost universally around the world. And that, folks, tells you where we're going.
Yes.
That is really the difference.
Which is not a good thing.
Yeah, but go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I wanted to touch on that.
That's okay. In that phone call, Trump says that, you know, we want to investigate corruption. And, you know, if Biden had something to do with some of that corruption, look into what he was doing as well. Now, here's the thing. There is nothing on that call that indicated a quid pro quo. There really wasn't anything on that call that indicated that. However, you can infer whatever you want to infer. And since Trump constantly plays in the gray all the time with a lot of these things, these guys are all going to start going after him. However, conversely, what is your son being paid $50,000 a month to be on the board of an electric company along with Pelosi's kid and John Kerry's kid? I don't know. You named the big wig politician that's serving on some energy board in Ukraine that's getting paid ungodly amounts of money. It's not because these kids are experts or everything. They're paying for access. Whether the access is legal or illegal is irrelevant, that they're paying for access to our government officials. Foreign actors and foreign companies are paying access to our politicians. Trump knows this, and they're going to try to impeach him for trying to find this stuff out. Now, did he do something that might be impeachable? He might not. No way. No matter what, it looks bad. But it all looks bad.
Right.
Like, there's none of it. There's no good guys in any of this. And I think the overall point that I want to make is this. The only thing the Democrats would have had to do in order to beat Trump in 2020 was to act normal and to not, and to, you know what, to clean your own house up and to start looking out for the American people and not looking out for, I mean, I know it sounds so cliche to say it this way, but
right.
To not screw the American people over by making deals with foreign countries, because that's what all of them are doing, though. All of them are doing it, whether it's Giuliani doing it, whether it's Trump doing it with the two guys that they just arrested for getting donations of $50,000 from foreign people. Now DeSantis has to give the money back. None of them are acting in an honorable fashion, which is why at the end of the day, you can never get rid of the evil that's in the government. And I'm going to give you the example, and I know you're not going to be happy that I give you this example, but this is the example I'm going to give you. It's the problem in Florida with the LP when Augustus came, is that because so many people that were involved, and I'm not talking about you.
Well, you better not be.
I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking about after the fact, is that so many of these people were so dishonorable that it allowed a person that was a racist-ass fascist to garner power within the organization that's supposed to be as free-loving about freedom as the LP was. If you can do it there, you can do it at any governmental level, no matter where it is, no matter who it is, you can always do it because you don't act in an honorable fashion. You know what the honorable people end up doing? They leave.
Well, I specifically... You kind of threw me something that I have to respond to.
I tried to warn you where I was going. I tried to warn you.
We should have done a little more show prep. All right, let's dig into it. Let's
but
dig into
I'm
it.
I'm not talking about you.
Well, yeah, you are.
No.
You are No. You're not accusing me of anything, but you are talking about a situation that obviously I am right at the center of.
Well, no.
I am the person that exposed Augustus Evictus to the world. Nobody would have ever known his name if it wasn't for me.
Yeah, but that's not the part of talking about.
No. And I also...
I mean, he... Don't get me wrong.
He is also the reason that I got completely out of politics because of the executive committee within the Libertarian Party of Florida. They wanted to just keep their head in the sand and play status quo and pretend like we can kumbaya, we can all get along. And I said, no, that's pure evil. So in order for me to expose Invictus to the world, I had to resign. So I resigned so I could speak the truth about the man. And when I did, holy shit, man, I was getting calls from all over media outlets all over the world on that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, but here's the thing, though. What happened after the fact, though, after you left... The people that ended up being in charge at that point,
right,
acted in a very underhanded manner and kept, but they weren't very good at it. So they were trying to be behind the scenes kind of stabbing like they used to do with us.
Right.
But they're not good at it, and they did it in a dishonorable way. Look, you did it. You did, like, agree or disagree with what you did. You did it up front, straightforward, and you did it in an honorable way.
Of course.
Don't get me wrong. Augustus was counting on that.
Right.
Because he wanted to be made famous by you.
He got his wish.
But that's why he did what he in my opinion, he did what he did because he knew that by...
No, he didn't at the time.
You don't think so? Okay.
No. He did not know that at the time. At the time, it was... he just thought he was going to go to war with me and win. That's what he thought. You know, he is the only person in a one-on-one situation that I've seriously considered killing.
Wow.
I can tell you when it was. It was at the LPF convention.
The one in Pasco.
In the one in Pasco. And we were standing on the balcony, and I looked at him, and I said, let me ask you this. I said, do you seriously believe what you say? Do you really intend to start a civil war and kill millions of people? And he looked me square in the eye and said, it's my religion. And at that moment, I seriously considered, he was leaning against a railing, and it was about 20 feet high.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I seriously considered grabbing him. I could have easily thrown him headfirst over the railing, and I thought about it. It was the only time in my life where I seriously considered killing a guy, because it was like, in my mind, it was like, what if you could kill Hitler before he did anything?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was literally my thinking, and that's what I thought of the guy. It turns out he's, you know...
Completely ineffective.
Well, thank God.
Yes.
You know, other than the Charlottesville thing, he really is just, you know...
Yeah, but that wasn't even
he's
him,
he's a joke.
Like, here's the thing. The thing about Charlottesville was this, is that the police did that shit on purpose, though.
Yeah.
Like, they put those two groups together on purpose to cause an incident in order to crack down on it.
Well, now I'm like, yeah, let's do more of that. I support police doing that. Let's get them all. I mean, let's herd them all into like one giant stadium and sell tickets. Put it on pay-per-view.
Well, no. Look, you know? Here's the thing. I understand where you were coming from on that, because if you remember, the next situation where we had to run into somebody that was a racist happened was in Pinellas County at that one restaurant place or whatever off of 60, where I was standing outside those people that were there.
Right.
And I said, in the tone that I said, well, let me ask you a question. And as soon as I said it in that tone, everybody was like, oh, shit, it's about to go down. And I asked them, do you want to make separate laws for black people than for white people? The dude said yes. And then it all got, you know, pretty nasty after that.
Yeah.
Again, no you know, no hands were thrown or anything like that. But, you know, those people were told that they weren't allowed around here anymore. They weren't welcome there or whatever. But the problem was, and the problem that you see with Trump and the problem that you see with Augustus, not even to equate the two people together, but the problem that you see is the people that they're up against are not good people either. They're dishonorable people as well. And that's the problem we're running into, is that, like, if you look at what happened yesterday, like, I don't know if anybody know this or not, but if you're listening, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Shepard Smith resigned from Fox News yesterday. And he was, like, he's been there since 96. He was a straight news guy on Fox News. He would call out the president when he thought he was doing wrong. He would basically try to call out the news, and he was a truthful, as much as you can be on network TV, journalist as you could be.
You know what? Here's how I remembered Shepard Smith during one of the hurricanes. I don't even remember which one it is. If you don't evacuate, you're going to die. If you don't evacuate, your children are going to die. And it was like a cat too.
Okay.
You know?
No.
It's like, it was
that was a little sensational.
Right. Yeah.
I'll go with that.
That's Shep Smith at that point, no longer considered a serious journalist in my book.
Okay. So here's the thing. So he quit, or he resigned. He's been there since 96. It was very sudden, very thing. They asked the president about this. This is where.
Okay. First of all, throughout history, I don't recall the media ever asking the president, what do you think of such and such reporter doing this? It's like something they would never ask the president.
Yeah, but we're not living in the same age now.
Right, I know. There was like, there used to be this thing called decorum.
On all sides.
On all sides, yeah. Yes,
the media.
It's all gone.
Look, the media has no decorum left. Because the funny thing is, CNN actually did an article or did a reporting about Shepard Smith, and they're talking about how, you know, honest journalism, and he was a, like, they're talking nice about Shepard Smith now. Like, you never talked nice about him before. Like, and it was Brian Seltzer who's
CNN's going to hire him.
Oh, no, they can't.
After a year.
Maybe after whatever his.
Yeah, number, I'm sure he's got something in his contract, but it's almost never more than a year.
Yeah. So here's the thing. So they asked Trump about it, and Trump, in pure a-hole fashion, like, just like an asshole to say, instead of being gracious and go, hey, look, wish him the best. And just leaving it at that. Well, did they fire him because of bad ratings? Since he was getting bad ratings. Did they fire him because of bad ratings? He was, yeah, but. And he must have said it 5 or 6 times at the same time. And he's like, oh, I feel bad for that. You know, like, oh, bad for that. And then finally he's like, oh, no. Well, you know, in all reality, wish him the best. Wish him the best. You know, wish him the best. Like, no, you don't. Just don't say anything at all. Like, we are literally dealing with a guy that acts like a freaking 5-year-old up there. And it's constant. It's all the time. It's you know, like, there was that poll that came out, that Fox put out a poll that says, you know, 51% of the people want Trump impeached. And what does he do? He attacks Fox for putting out the poll. Like, it's just a poll. Like, you don't. Right. Like, what's the problem? It's just a freaking poll. Now,
well, wait a second. They should have seen the results, that it didn't reflect well on him, and they should have buried it at that point.
You know what?
That's what we
really, is that what we really want? Is that what we really
or
want?
Or better yet, they should have questioned the poll in such a way that it came out to be like 1%.
No, what they should do is to put the poll out, because that's what the poll said. You know what I mean? Like, the thing is this, it's a poll. People are thinking that right now. For as much negative media attention as he's getting, I can understand that. But you feed half the negative media attention all the time. You're constantly feeding negative media attention because the only tactic you know is how to troll people. Like, that's the only tactic you do. Instead of being a statesman on this stuff, instead of being like a rational freaking human being, like most people would be, you act like a freaking jerk. Now, the problem is that we're dealing with a bunch of socialist gun grabbers on the other side of the fence,
right,
that make you look good.
Right.
But it doesn't change the fact that you look good comparative to a gun. You look good comparative to Hillary Clinton, not because you're good, but because that woman sucks all day long.
Well, you know, yeah, we got socialist gun grabbers and we got, you know, corporatist gun grabbers. I'm not sure.
Yeah, who's the better one?
Right. Yeah. Maybe a slight edge to the corporatist gun grabbers, but they're both gun grabbers.
And then here's what happens next.
And hang on a second.
Oh, go ahead.
On the gun grabbing thing. You know, I had a guy the other day say, well, all Trump has banned is bump stocks. Do you really care about that? Again, if Obama had done that, be going out of his fucking mind.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just so sick of the hypocrisy everywhere.
Yes.
Everywhere. Oh, God. On both sides.
Yes.
You know, because here's the thing. the thing that the left is criticizing, you know, Trump for, they'd be praising Obama for.
Yes.
It's, you know, and I'm the guy sitting here going, they're both the same. Yeah. There's no goddamn difference between either of them. And that's the part that bothers me the most is it's like, I'm not sure if I'm the crazy one because I can't tell them apart.
I feel like I'm living in a world of insanity right now.
I do. Yeah.
I feel like I'm living in a world of insanity.
Parallel universe.
Yeah. Because you're looking at it and you're just like, well, now don't get me wrong. I get caught up in it. I can get caught up in it just like anybody can. But the thing is this. So earlier this week, Ellen, so I wanted to bring it and wrap this thing in the Ellen thing. So Ellen went to a Cowboys game against the Green Bay Packers. She was in a booth with George W. Bush. She was smiling with him. She was laughing with him. And she was, you know, they were having a good time in the booth. And there's pictures of her with him in the booth. And her fans lost their freaking minds. Now, the people that lost their minds were people that were part of the LGBTQIA, sexyz, whatever group of people. Those people were the ones that were the maddest at him because they're like, well, he's not supportive of our rights and this and that and blah, 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 blah. And so why would you, you know, be with, you know, why be up there when this guy would do this stuff? Ellen came out and says, look, I'm friends with a whole lot of people that don't agree with me politically. And, you know, that's going to be that way. We need to be nice to everybody. I didn't say be nice to just people that you agree with. Be nice to everybody. Great sentiment, right? Like, great, great thought.
I'm actually torn on this one. I'm actually very conflicted on this.
Okay, tell me why you're conflicted.
Because I agree with that sentiment that we should actually be nice to everyone and do our best to, you know, overlook each other's, you know, the political issues and things like that. However, I also believe that George W. Bush is a war criminal. I believe that he either, well, I think out of the group of war criminals, he might be the lesser of the batch, but I believe that he lied to the American people in order to have a war with Iraq because he had unfinished daddy issues from the first Gulf War. Because Saddam Hussein, in fact, you hear him say it, he tried to kill my daddy.
Okay.
So I think that he's an individual who lied to the American people in order to kill hundreds of thousands of people. And thousands of Americans and spend $1 trillion of our money for his own personal vendetta. So do you sit with that person? Do you be friends? Can you be friends with that person? See, that's the thing. The problem is not if it's just an individual, you know, it's just a person who has bad political ideas. Yeah, I can be friends with that person all day long. I'm friends with a ton of people. In fact, virtually no one has the same politics I do, so which is none. So most of my friends are like that. But when it comes to a person who is actually has done really unspeakably horrible things, and if you look at that in that from that perspective, then yeah, maybe. I don't know. I am caught. Here's the thing. If George W. Bush invited me to watch a football game with him, I don't know whether I would say yes or no.
Okay. I really do understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
So let me ask the second question when I do it.
Okay.
If someone were to sit down with them, would you give them shit?
No, I wouldn't give someone else shit. But I would judge myself more harshly. I tend to... I'm very critical of myself for any form of hypocrisy.
But you wouldn't do that to someone else though.
No, I don't fault Ellen for it at all.
That's because in this situation, you consider what she says to be the better person.
Yeah, I do.
Absolutely consider that, right?
I do. Yeah.
But and look, and all of us are hypocrites in one way or another. So let me also be a hypocrite to Ellen. She didn't put Trump on the air when she was interviewing all the presidents. So do you really want to sit down with everybody when that's what you do?
Well, like maybe
she had a talk show. She had all the other candidates on. She didn't have him on.
Oh, well, you know, her show.
You're right. It's her show. But when you talk about the civility part, that part needs to be talked about as well.
Does it? Hang on a second. Hang on. Does it?
No, I don't. Here's the thing. At the end of the day,
are those two different things?
Well, I do think that they are two different things. So let me just say this. I do think they're two different things. And I posted up, I didn't post up the second part. I posted up just the part of the positivity part of her sitting down and what her response was in sitting down. And you got, I got to tell you, what the negativity I saw on my own page with people that, you know, that I'm like, are you kidding me? Like it's like nobody actually got, no, not only did nobody get the point of what I was putting up there, they didn't care to get the point of what I was putting up there. Like, are we this far gone now?
Oh, hang on a second. Because I'm trying to understand, what were they giving you shit just for supporting Ellen because she's a lefty?
No. Because they wouldn't have sat down with him either.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, more from, okay, I gotcha.
It was more for that reason, if they don't agree with the premise.
Well, I can't fault her for it, though. I
don't fault her for
it. I don't fault her, but me personally, and again, I don't even know if I would or wouldn't. I don't know. Maybe you take the opportunity to get better insight of the man, you know?
Here's
the thing. If Jeffrey Dahmer invited you to a football game, you know, would you go?
He's in jail for life for murdering a bunch of people.
I get that. But my same point.
Would you sit down and talk to Jeffrey Dahmer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would.
Then if that's the case, then I think that you would have no problem sitting down.
Like, I would sit down. Here's the thing. And again, I have a consistent foreign policy. I think we should talk to everybody all the time. I think we should always be talking to people because it doesn't hurt anything to talk to people.
I concur with that. I agree.
So if we like, you know, I don't give Tulsi Gabbard any crap for sitting down with Bashar al-Assad for sitting down and talking to him.
No,
I don't think we should not talk to anybody. I think we should talk to all these different people.
Right.
Now, we can condemn the actions that they're doing, and we can say that, well, I don't agree with them on this, and I don't agree with them on this, but same thing goes for Trump.
He's actually good at that.
Oh, no, he's great at it.
He talks to everyone.
He is one of those guys that does that.
He wants to build a hotel in all their countries.
Yes. So, I look at this like, see, how can I say this the right way? There's nothing wrong with sitting down and talking to these people or to try to be friends with these people to try to get them to understand your way of thinking. You're never going to convince people that what you're thinking is the right way if you never talk to them.
Right.
You know, and the thing is, this is like, I'm sure that George Bush has some big doubts about a lot of these things. And you can tell some of that stuff by some of his actions are after it was all said and done. And not the things that he tries to get media attention for, but the things he doesn't want to get media attention for. You know what I mean? Like, I think that you can see some of the actions that he does and realize that, you know, he probably isn't happy with some of the decisions that were made. Now, Cheney probably isn't, because Cheney probably is just eating babies, you know, dead babies and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, and if there was one person I probably wouldn't sit down with, it may be Cheney, but at the same time, I might sit down with him too. So I can't say that I wouldn't sit down and talk to anybody, but I think that if I wouldn't do it, I think it shows an ugliness of me more than anything else. And so you should highlight the positivity of situations like Ellen.
Hang on. I'm getting handed a note here. Oh, Dick Cheney's at the door. He says, it's time for you to go hunting. He's got his shotgun.
I want him to have let me give him the weapon. I'll give him the weapon. We'll put blanks in it for him. It'll be all right. But when I saw this on my own, when I put this on my own page, and I was just like, hey, you know, this is a good positive message. And just to see the reaction that people had, I was so like, you know what, man? I'm glad I'm getting out of politics.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why anyone would get mad at Ellen. I understand people having an internal struggle as to how they would act, because I kind of had an internal, you know, what do you do in that situation? You know, but in retrospect, I wouldn't want to sit down with any of the presidents except Carter. You know,
that old dude's building stuff left and right.
I feel like that dude, you know, of all the screwed up things he may have done, I feel like that guy's probably heart was always in the right place. He at least tried.
Yeah.
He was inept, but he was trying hard. Yeah.
But
did you see him this week?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It looks like he got the shit beat out of him. He's still out there hammering nails at 95 years old.
Yeah. Habitat for Humanity, man. It's one of the... It's
I mean, shit, I'm not even 50 yet, and I don't get on my roof anymore.
I would say this. As a president, he probably was around for probably part of the biggest failures.
Right.
But as the time after office, you'd have to argue he's probably has one of the biggest successes out of any of the presidents when it comes to helping regular people.
Well, he had the unfortunate... Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's been wonderful at that. Very, you know, dedicated servant. But, you know, I don't want to go into Carter's economic policy, but he had the unfortunate luck to have to be in office at the time that the interest rates had to correct.
Yeah.
You know, and it just, you know, so when he's in office, mortgage rates were 20%.
Yeah.
I mean, when mortgage rates are 20%, folks, the economy is not doing well. But that had to happen because they had a, you know, again, a debt and spend thing. And Clinton's the other way. Clinton had horrible economic policy, but he happened to have the good luck of being in office during the dot-com boom.
Yes.
So it's like, yeehaw, well, we got budget surplus. Well,
Well, and he had the other advantage of being president when the other party was in charge of both houses on the other side.
Right. Exactly.
That's when actually things end up working
great. Like
the checks and balances end up working better that those times.
Yeah, because nothing gets done, and that's the best thing that government can ever do is nothing.
But yeah, and exactly. So yeah. it was really good in that aspect. So. I do want to say I can't believe we didn't do this, but for the Patreon, for those of you that are on our Patreon, thank you very much. Also, for this week, we have a new Lonely Briefcase level, Annie Hayes. Thank you very much. We really do appreciate that. If you would like to become a member of Unattended Baggage, go to patreon.com/unattendedbaggage, and you can sign up there to help us out, and you will get the second hour of the show.
Yeah,
we only put that on Patreon.
Yeah, you get a lot of perks and a lot of we save a lot of really interesting topics for the second hour just for that reason. So for as little as $5 a month, you can get an extra hour a week of content, and it's good content. I mean, it's you know, it's worth every penny of it. And if you sign up for the $10 level, you get a whole bunch of goodies and shit too. And you even get the "This is not a bomb, unattended baggage" duffel bag.
Yes, the "This is not a bomb, unattended baggage" duffel bag. I'm going to be sending them out this week to the people that have given me an address. So that's good. Now, in the next hour, though, we did want to talk about a couple things. First off, that Elon Musk, and being the billionaire superhero that he is fixing Flint School's water problem. The average American hasn't made a new friend in 5 years, by the way, which I probably don't wonder why we're having more shootings. Arrests for low-level crimes are plummeting, and the experts are flummoxed because statists always like to arrest people. Are we prepared for alien life? The victory in the Airbnb war? And what kills more people than rifles? Well, how much time do you have? Because we can go over all the different things that kill more people than rifles. However, that's not going to stop the government from taking more of your guns.
Okay, this is really not a tease at this point. You're just like literally going through point by point.
Oh, God. And screw China. And we're going to go through the Chinese
there
bank.
There you go. That's a tease.
Screw China. Yeah. We'll tell you
but
why screw
just
China.
Just in general, for you know, you don't tease things by literally describing the entire topic.
Oh, well, that's my bad then.
You just say, we're going to touch on this, this, and this, and this. And then there's something that you absolutely have to hear, but you got to wait.
Yes, yes.
But see, you don't do any of that. That's why it's a tease. You're not doing a tease. You're doing like a table of contents. hang on. Let's start again.
I do have to learn the difference, I guess.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in a minute. And when we do, we're going to talk about something that you are not going to want to miss.
But
stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this.
Hold on. Before we go,
it's going to be life-changing.
Before you go, though, we do have to figure out one other thing.
What's that?
I saw on Podbean how we can do the live show. How we can do the show live on Podbean.
Oh, okay.
So what I was going to ask you, and you can either answer, you can answer this after the break if you want, but you can answer, how many subscribers do we have to get to in order to do one of the hours live?
You know, see, you were setting up for a great tease there, and then you gave a tease that people didn't care about.
Oh.
You know, it was a close tease.
I was working.
But we will talk about that. And so if you give a shit about how many subscribers we have to get to in the second hour, join us. Whatever. This just came completely apart.
It does. It did. I'm sorry. It did. I'm sorry.
We'll work on your radio skills.
All right. So Unattended Baggage, we'll be back for hour number 2.